Two guys in a podcast joining us today. Arian Foster, 2010 rushing champ. Greg Doyle, he has been lambasted for talking on Twitter. Not you, Arian Foster has. How excited are you to talk to him about Twitter?
Yeah, I am, because I want to hear if this guy's as smart, you know, in real life as he comes across on Twitter. There's a lot of people that have other people tweet for him, and I'm sure Arian Foster's not one of those people. But he, you can tell, and I had no idea, you can tell that's a smart dude. And now we get to hear it for ourselves and just hear how smart he is. I can't wait.
Yeah, I've been very lucky. I've talked to him before. He's a very smart dude, very well thought out. But we got him, so let's talk to him. Arian, how you doing, man?
Doing good, man. How you doing?
Doing well. We'll ask you first off. You got this is Will Brinson. You got Greg Doyle on the line as well. I'll ask you, you know, on Monday, you know, you're dealing with a hamstring injury, and you made a comment about fantasy football owners, and I think, and this is my guess when I wrote a post on it, is that you probably had fantasy football owners inquire about your hamstring before you mentioned that. Is that how it went down, or you know, what prompted the comment?
Because I like to be kind of active in the digital world, just because, you know, I think, you know, when you're involved with your fans and they can interact with you, I think it's a good deal. And I'm just reading like some of my comments, like, you know, when they at you
right
on Twitter, the majority of them, I would say about 80-90% of them were talking about how I better heal up so they can have their fantasy football season and all this other stuff. And I just thought to myself, the fact that you're worried about your fantasy football over another person's health, and that just seemed kind of off to me. So I just, you know, said what I felt about it.
Hey, Arian, because of this whole thing, I've gone back and looked at your Twitter feed, and I'm very pleasantly surprised. And I shouldn't even say it like that, but daggum, I mean, you tweet smarter than I do, and I'm a professional trained communicator, but you're obviously a very smart, thoughtful, well-spoken guy. And yet it comes across almost like naive that you're almost late to the party, that people are jerks. People are animals. They don't care about you as a human being. And I don't say this to be mean to you, but they, I mean, fans are, and so are sports writers. We're very selfish. It's all about, what do we get out of this? Do I get a story out of this? And a fan says, do I get fantasy points out of this? And it's almost like you were surprised by that. Am I reading that right?
Well, no, I wasn't surprised by it. I'm surprised they would take time out of their day to let me know about it, was my thing. And it's like, people kind of go out of the way to, for whatever reason, let you know how they feel about your situation, and which they're entitled to do. But it seems that every time an athlete has anything to say back, it's automatically viewed as negative. You know, it's like we're not allowed to have any kind of opinion. And if it's not popular, then we're wrong. So I was just voicing my opinion. And people are kind of twisting it to make it sound like I said all fantasy football players are sick. And that's not what I said. I said people that, you know, are viewing their fantasy football team over another human being's health is just a little off to me. So I mean, I still stand by that statement. That's not going to change, but I don't think anything's wrong with fantasy football. I think it's good for the game.
Hey, look, speaking of your health, and I guess I'm kind of sick for not asking this first. How is your hamstring?
it's good. I was jogging on it yesterday, 2 days removed after the injury, and that's a good sign for hamstring injuries. And it's healing up pretty fast, and it's not as serious as when I tweaked it the first time. So, you know, it's looking good for opening day.
Okay, glad to hear that. Arian, are you getting bombarded more now on Twitter? I mean, what is it like being you for the last day or two? Is it almost depressing because people are killing you? You called me sick. I'm not sick. I hope you die. And that really proves their point. But what are you getting from fans now?
I would say about 80% of it, 80 to 90% of it, is really positive feedback. You know, a lot of people are saying, you know, I understand where you're coming from. I wish you well. A lot of people are saying, you know, me too. I mean, I play fantasy football, but, you know, I don't think it should be taken that serious and yada, yada, yada. But, you know, there are some people out there who, for whatever reason, have, you know, negative thoughts towards me and athletes in general. And they're saying, like, you know, I hope you break both your legs. You're you're nothing, you're a piece of whatever, like a whole bunch of stuff. And then those are the kind of ones you got to just laugh at, man.
All right, speaking of laughing, you tweeted at Colin Cowherd of ESPN, and I laughed pretty heartily because you kind of owned him on Twitter. What spurred that response? I mean, he seemed to be kind of that's one of those things that bothers me. He seemed to be kind of attacking you as a media member without any context. Was that how you took it?
Well, you know, like I said, after I made my initial comment, it was like the tweet heard around the world. Everybody was just tweeting about it. It kind of took me off by surprise because, you know, I tweet a lot of things, and a lot of it is positive. A lot of it is, you know, good, thought-provoking things. But this just stirred up the masses for whatever reason, and it just my Twitter feed was flooding with you know, both positive and negative things. But that one kept reoccurring about what he had said, and it was like for like 30 minutes straight. That's all I kept reading about, and so I clicked on it. I didn't even know what it was, and then I read what he said, and I thought it was like a bad attempt at humor. It wasn't very funny. So I asked him a serious question. That's all that was, and he didn't. I guess he thought we were kind of like having a word war. I was serious, but not like serious, but like I really wanted to know that's what happened to him. But you know,
do you think, Arian, that given that you're blunt and you are a smart guy, and I think the smarter you are, the more trouble you can get to on Twitter, because if you're intellectually curious and you have kind of big ideas, can you handle Twitter? Or more importantly, can Twitter handle you as you're trying to manage your brand, and you got sponsors and all that stuff? How safe are you on Twitter if you're going to be having ideas that are more than what you had for breakfast in the morning?
Well, the thing about me is I always know what can and can't affect your image, and I won't ever say anything that's going to, you know, tarnish my image to the fact where it's you know, people look at me in a sense where, you know, I'm nothing more than a human being that likes, you know, peace and equality and loves people and promotes that. I think that some people get most of what I say misconstrued. But at the end of the day, everything that I tweet about is, stands behind the fact that, you know, I'm just a human being that puts other human beings' life over anything else. Like I'm a humanitarian. I really believe in that. I really believe in other people. I have faith in the human, you know, family. And, you know, I'm not a hippie. I enjoy other things, you know. Like I like having fun. I like joking and clowning. But I'm just a man that likes to express his thoughts. And some people don't like, you know, we're kind of viewed as you know, pieces of meat. Athletes are, you know, we're people's entertainment. That's the truth. But you know, what people don't understand is, you know, that entertainment that you have. You know, we go home and we have sons and we have daughters and we have families and we have people that love us and look to us for support and guidance. And we look to other people for those same things. And whenever, you know, our thoughts are expressed, you know, it's like I'm not supposed to have a brain. Like why can't I not think the things that I think? It's, I'm a human too.
Yeah, see, that is something that would be nice if it would fit in 140 characters, right? I agree with you, man. I think it's tough to go out there. It's tough for those of us who are, you know, paid to be on Twitter and to write about it to condense what we're trying to say in a thoughtful way out there. Do you see a lot more? I mean, is that something the Texans worry about, you know, athletes on Twitter, athletes on social media? I know we've had trouble with certainly players in college have caused trouble. And then, you know, Rashard Mendenhall, another running back, got in trouble with, you know, something he said that was probably a little more out there than he would have wanted. But, I mean, is that something the Texans worry about?
I can't tell you what any other man worries about, but what I can tell you is that it shouldn't be anything anybody worries about, because at the end of the day, man, we're all unique individuals. Some more unique than others, but we're all individuals and we all have thoughts. And why is it not okay just because you represent a certain brand or a certain whatever? Why can you not express your thoughts about the world? We're all sharing this wonderful world. Why can't we not bounce ideas off each other? We might not agree all the time, But that's a beautiful thing about life. I think Mark Twain said it the best. He said, you know, there's a need, and I'm paraphrasing, but he said there's a need for differences of opinion, you know, otherwise, you know, there's no need for horse races, you know? So, like, why not just embrace it, you know? I say this all the time, my truth may not be necessarily, it may not coincide with your truth, but, you know, I'm willing to compromise my, I guess my what I stand for in order to just coincide, because we live in the same universe. We live in the same earth. Like, there's no reason to, you know, if you like red, that's fine. I like blue. There's nothing wrong. Even if one of us are wrong, that's me. We're different people. There's nothing wrong with that.
Now, Arian,
go ahead.
I'm sorry. I'm not Bigfoot and interrupt you, but a final football question. Willie Parker at North Carolina didn't play a whole lot, never had a 1,000-yard season like you did as a junior at Tennessee, but kind of had years like you had as a sophomore and senior, where he played some, not a great year. He goes to the NFL and has all these 1,000-yard seasons. It's like, where did that come from? A lot of people, I'm one of them, are like, where did this Arian Foster come from? You're averaging as many yards per carry in the NFL as you ever did in college, and that just doesn't happen. Where did you come from?
Came from Albuquerque, New Mexico.
that's near Roswell, Arian. That's my point. Area 51, baby.
Yeah, man. I think we're used to, in the NFL, just professional sports, we're used to seeing those athletes that are kind of, you know, media darlings, you know, like LeBron James or, you know, Peyton Manning, who have been successful and dominant their entire athletic career. They have just been leaps and bounds. You know, Adrian Peterson, he's just been amazing for his whole entire football career. And that's wonderful. I think every athlete wants that. But the truth of the matter is, not everybody's like that. You know, some people grow physically later than others. Some people grow mentally later than others. Some people mature earlier, some people mature later, both physically and mentally. And I think in college, I was at a different place physically and I was at a different place mentally. And I think as a man, I grew when I left college. I found out who I was. I found out more about my body. I found out more about a lot of things. And I just grew as a person as a whole. So I think that's what happens a lot of the time is, you know, guys in college are enjoying the college life. And, you know, they're more focused on other things sometimes or whatever the case. But, I mean, I've always played really hard and done and worked really hard and put everything into this game. But I think I just found out who I was more when I left college.
Well, you're certainly raising the discourse level on this podcast. Hey, I know you guys had the Houston Texans luncheon today. Lots of fans out there. My friend Steph Stradley, who writes for the Chronicle, was there taking pictures. Talk about the Texans fans. It's a diehard group of fans down there. I know they're itching for a playoff berth. You know, certainly people, they don't care about fantasy football because they want you guys to make the leap. Talk about what kind of expectations you think the fan base has for you guys coming up in 2011.
I think it's a pivotal year for us, man. We haven't seen a playoffs game yet, and I think that it's time for this city to be represented as it should. They love their football in Texas. Texas is a huge ball factory. For athletes, period, and I think it's time for us to take that next step, and the expectations are always high here because of that, and I think anything less than playoffs, it's no good, and, you know, that's how you lose your job in this league. That's the reality of the business. If you don't win, you know, the next man will, so, you know, that's what we're all focused on, man. We're working hard, and, you know, hopefully we can make our fans proud this year.
All right, cool deal, Arian. We'll get you out on this. If you were drafting a fantasy football team right now, who would be your number one pick?
I would probably go Mike Vick or Aaron Rodgers, man. I like mobile quarterbacks that can run because they do so much.
Good stuff. All right, hey, Arian, I can't thank you enough for taking the time and seriously for raising the level of discourse here, man. We need smarter guys like you on the podcast more often.
Oh, I appreciate it. If you don't feed the negative horse, then you will.
All right, good stuff, man. Hey, talk soon.
All right, bye.
So, Greg, that's he might be, in no offense to Charles Robinson or Danny Sheridan, but, I mean, Arian Foster might be the smartest guest we've had on the podcast yet.
He might, look, forget that. He might be the smartest person on the podcast, and that includes me and you. I mean, you talk about raising the discourse. I wonder if he thought we meant, because we normally talk to dumb jocks, and you're not one of those, Aaron. No, we meant Aaron. You're smarter than we are. Thank you for making us look smarter just by being here with us.
Oh, yeah, no, that's exactly what I meant. I meant, like, you're making us seem smarter. I'm amazed when you hear, I hate to play into the dumb jock stereotype, because certainly we cover sports and we see how athletes behave. But, I mean, Arian Foster is a deep thinker that you don't see in athletics very often.
Yeah, and I regret the way I phrased that question, because I said I was pleasantly surprised how smart you are. But look, when an athlete is very possibly smarter than the reporter he's talking to, it doesn't happen all the time. I mean, it just doesn't happen. Not the reporters are all that smart, but you know, athlete, there's a reason why the standards for getting into school. There's two standards. There's the standard for the student body and the standards for athletes. It's just different. That's the way it's always been. Arian Foster gets into any school he wants to, I'm guessing, any school he wants to get into on his own standards, on academic standards. That guy's a smart guy. You go to his Twitter feed, and yeah, the Twitter that got all the attention, I think, was shortened down. He must have used that tool that limits your text message letters, because that's not how he tweets. He doesn't tweet like a 15-year-old girl like Shaquille O'Neal tweets.
Yeah.
He tweets like a very smart, grown man. And it's people, if you've never read his Twitter line, go back and see what he says. I mean, he says some pretty good stuff.
Well, no, he like writes poetry in the off season, and I mean, he just dropped a Mark Twain quote on us. Okay, that's no offense to Ben Roethlisberger. Ben Roethlisberger ain't coming on the podcast and dropping a Mark Twain quote.
No, but I'll tell you what, if I'd known he actually writes poetry, we wouldn't have had him on. Come on now. I mean, writing poetry, really, that's weak.
You think that's weak?
That's weak. Writing poetry is weak. Look, Charles Frost not coming through that door again. Okay,
Robert Frost.
Robert Frost, and 1,000 miles to go before I make my next mistake. But nonetheless, Charles Frost.
Chuck Frost ain't walking through. No, look. I mean, I agree. I'm not like a poetry guy, but I think that it's beneficial. Especially when, again, you're talking about these stereotypes. These guys, I mean, like, you know, you're talking about Shaq tweets like you, and like he uses the letter U to symbolize you. Arian Foster's writing poetry. I mean, that's a good way to express yourself when you're in this uber competitive, ultra, you know, hyper athletic and intense world that is professional sports.
Yeah, and I'm mortified for the people that he said misinterpreted his tweet as, and I'm sure these people exist, because I get tweets, I'm sure you do too, from people, and you really can't believe, you really think that's what I just said? I did not say that. And he said he got tweets from people, or he got reaction from people, that you called all fantasy football players
sick.
Sick?
Yeah.
No. He was very clearly saying, if you value my leg only as a fantasy person and not as a human being, then you're sick. And people would twist that into, you're attacking all fantasy football people. Well, I mean, you can't teach stupid people to be smart. Well, and Foster doesn't, you know, he's not stupid.
Well, here's the other thing. So, all right, like, you're Arian Foster. I mean, imagine, you got to put yourself in his place. So he's at practice, and he's in the game. He injures a hamstring in the game. He leaves the game. You know, probably is in the trainer room until, you know, later that night, gets home at like 10 o'clock, logs onto his computer, checks Twitter, and his at replies, which we all check because we're all narcissists,
sure,
is full of people saying, dude, like at Arian Foster, dude, you better be healthy because my fantasy football draft is coming up and I need to know. And it's like, I mean, what would your reaction be? Mine would be like, dude, get real. You're sick. Like, I'm hurt here. What if I'm not okay physically?
I guess. On the other hand, I mean, I totally hear that. But because I'm not a pro athlete, because I've never walked those shoes,
right,
I can't get over the fact that how thrilling that would be to have all these people thinking how important I am to their day-to-day life just for no reason but I carry a football. I mean, that would be pretty fun to be reminded of that by them asking about my leg. But he's usually people as smart as he seems to be are fairly sensitive. You know, I don't want to make him out to be some beatnik poet or anything. But
he
maybe
said
he's
it himself. He's not a hippie. I mean, yeah. He used that phrase.
Yeah, I don't know about that. If I'd known he's writing poetry, I would have challenged that assertion. I don't know. Yeah, I think he might be a hippie, Arian Foster. I mean, his name is Arian. You know, he has a funky name, and funky names come from funky parents, and funky parents raise beatniks, and I think maybe he is one.
I tell you what, he's got a hell of a football game though. The guy is a legit runner. It is fascinating to see, you know, great question by you. You know, although, you know, different styles to Willie Parker, not necessarily the same style. Willie Parker's more, even more elusive. Foster's more of a power back, but they did come out of nowhere. And Foster, you know, obviously had some success at Tennessee, but to see him, and this is why people are so obsessed with him in terms of fantasy football, because he was such a legendary fantasy football tale last year. He was, you know, nobody, he was certainly not even close to the first round. Some people had him projected to put up some nice numbers, but nobody thought he would lead the league in rushing, and he won a bunch of fantasy football titles, and that's why people always ask him about it.
Yeah, and there's a reason why Willie Parker's college coach, John Bunting, got fired. There's
yes.
a reason why Arian Foster's college coach, Philip Fulmer, kind of got chased out of there. I mean, because these guys had NFL star running backs on their roster and either didn't know what they had or couldn't unlock what they had or whatever it was. Because I can't tell you how many times I've been to a Steelers game back when Parker was their running back,
right.
and would watch Parker do his thing. And I covered Willie Parker in college. Okay, I was at the Charlotte Observer
oh, yeah.
when Parker was in North Carolina. And I saw him one time at Maryland. He went 80 yards for a touchdown on the first play of the game. And I remember in the press box, all the writers were like, well, he'll be lucky to break 100 yards today. Because
yeah.
he got 80, but he's so not good that we're not sure he can get 20 the rest of the game. We don't know where the 80 came from, and yet here he is at Pittsburgh dominating, and Arian Foster the same way. The guy averaged 4 yards a carry as a junior at Tennessee. He averaged 5 last year in the NFL. That can't happen.
Yeah, and part of it's a system thing, but I don't think with these guys, you know, I agree with you. It's a lack of recognition of talent, and if you've got a lot of talent, this is why coaches don't get fired from, you know, mid-level college programs and why they end up in the NFL, is if you can recognize talent and build something around it and or find pieces of talent, or I shouldn't say pieces of talent, gentlemen of intellect who also have talent who you can slide into your system, that's how you rise up the coaching ranks.
Yeah, and that's why our bosses at CBSSports.com aren't going anywhere, because this should be like an international – this should be played all over the world, this podcast – and it's played on our website and all that, but they don't recognize what they have here.
I know. We should be getting like a serious deal. And no, not like a serious, like not casual, but like a serious XM deal. I mean, we should be broadcasting live. You're right. All over the world. Maybe that'll happen at some point. Until then, people can subscribe via iTunes. We were at one point, I think, a top something. We're hot on iTunes. We're new and noteworthy. Maybe we'll get back there.
Yeah. New hotness. We're like that Will Smith car
in
Men in Black.
As soon as we mention that, by the way, it immediately like got yanked off iTunes. That's fine, though.
Yeah, we become old and busted.
Exactly.
See what I did there?
Yeah, we are old and busted. Anyway, but people can subscribe to iTunes by clicking the link above. We'll get that Zune in there as well. And we appreciate always as listener, everybody for listening, and we appreciate Arian Foster for joining us. Greg, as always, great stuff, man.
Thank you, Will. Talk to you later. We'll